Chapter 38. Mr. and Mrs. Vonner left Clanton on a cloudy June morning in a new sports utility four-wheel drive that promised 12 miles to the gallon and was loaded with enough luggage for a month in Europe. The District of Columbia was the destination, however, since Mrs. Vonner had a sister there whom Harry Rex had never met. They spent the first night in Gatlinburg and the second night at White Sulphur Springs in West Virginia. They arrived in Charlottesville around noon, did the obligatory tour of Jefferson's Monticello, walked the grounds at the university, and had an unusual dinner at a college dive called the White Spot, the house specialty being a fried egg on a hamburger. It was Harry Rex's kind of food. The next morning, while she slept, he went for a stroll on the downtown mall. He found the address and waited. A few minutes after 8 a.m., Ray double-tied the laces of his rather expensive running shoes, stretched in the den, and walked downstairs for the daily five-miler. Outside, the air was warm. July was not far away, and summer had already arrived. He turned a corner and heard a familiar voice call, "Hey, boy!" Harry Rex was sitting on a bench, a cup of coffee in hand, an unread newspaper next to him. Ray froze and took a few seconds to collect himself. Things were out of place here. When he could move, he walked over and said, "What exactly are you doing here?" "Cute outfit," Harry Rex said, taking in the shorts, old T-shirt, red runner's cap, the latest in athletic eyeglasses. "Me and the wife are passing through, headed for D.C. She has a sister up there she thinks I want to meet. Sit down." "Why didn't you call?" "Didn't want to bother you." "But you should have called, Harry Rex. We could do dinner. I'll show you around." "It's not that kind of trip. Sit down." Smelling trouble, Ray sat next to Harry Rex. "I can't believe this," he mumbled. "Shut up and listen." Ray removed his running glasses and looked at Harry Rex. "Is it bad?"
"Let's say it's curious."
He told Jacob Spain's story about Forrest hiding in the trees at the oncology clinic 6 days before the judge passed away. Ray listened in disbelief and slid lower on the bench. He finally leaned forward with his elbows on his knees, his head hung low. "According to the medical records," Harry Rex was saying, "he got a morphine pack that day, May the 1st. Don't know if it was the first pack or a refill. The records are not that clear. Looks like Forrest took him to get the good stuff." A long pause as a pretty young woman walked by, obviously in a hurry, her tight skirt swaying wonderfully as she sped along. A sip of coffee, then,
"I've always been suspicious of that will you found in his study. The judge and I talked about his will for the last 6 months of his life. I don't think he simply cranked out one more right before he died. I've studied the signatures at length, and it's my untrained opinion that the last one is a forgery."
Ray cleared his voice and said, "If Forrest drove him to Tupelo, then it's safe to assume Forrest was in the house."
"All over the house."
Harry Rex had hired an investigator in Memphis to find Forrest, but there was no trail, no trace. From somewhere within the newspaper, he pulled out an envelope.
"Then this came 3 days ago."
Ray pulled out a sheet of paper and unfolded it. It was from Oscar Meave at Alcorn Village, and it read, "Dear Mr. Vonner, I have been unable to reach Ray Attlee. I know the whereabouts of Forrest, if by chance the family does not. Call if you would like to talk. Everything is confidential. Best wishes, Oscar Meave."
"So I called him right away," Harry Rex said, eyeing another young woman. "He has a former patient who's now a counselor at a rehab ranch out west. Forrest checked in there a week ago and was adamant about his privacy. Said he did not want his family to know where he was. Evidently this happens from time to time, and the clinics are always caught in a bind. They have to respect the wishes of their patient, but on the other hand, the family is crucial to the overall rehabilitation. So these counselors whisper among themselves. Meave made the decision to pass along the information to you."
"Where out west?"
"Montana. A place called Morning Star Ranch. Meave said it's what the boy needs. Very nice, very remote, a lockdown facility for the hard cases. Said he'll be there for a year. Ray sat up and began rubbing his forehead as if he'd finally been shot there. And of course the place is pricey, Harry Rex added. Of course, Ray mumbled. There was no more talk, not about Forrest anyway. After a few minutes, Harry Rex said he was leaving. He had delivered his message. He had nothing more to say. Not then. His wife was anxious to see her sister. Perhaps next time they could stay longer, have dinner, whatever. He patted Ray on the shoulder and left him there. See you in Clanton, were his last words. Too weak and too winded for a run, Ray sat on the bench in the middle of the downtown mall, his apartment above him, lost in a world of rapidly moving pieces. The foot traffic picked up as the merchants and bankers and lawyers hustled to work. But Ray did not see them.